In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
So glad you're joining me today on the iSpy Radio Show, the show for the informed patriot, helping you to make sense of the senseless as every week we keep an eye on big government. Although this week it's not just big government, it's big money and how the two interact. We're continuing our look at George Soros and, as promised, we'll tell you how you, the taxpayer, are giving money to some of Soros's far-left groups. I'd like to read a little something here to get us going because it's a nice recap of last week's show and to whet your appetite for today's show. Soros's methods are always the same. He buys influence in the world of the intelligentsia, among opinion makers in academia and the financial world, as well as in the media. He builds and takes over political parties, NGOs, non-governmental organizations. He organizes them into a network and uses them as covers. He creates chaos and apprehension. He weakens incumbent powers by all available means. He cries election fraud if necessary, economic hardships whenever possible, or finds some other pretext. He has large demonstrations organized, or if they are organized by others, his people join them immediately and take over the lead. He takes those demonstrations as starting points in order to try and destabilize the system. He provokes disturbances with his radical street fighters to create chaos. He creates the facade that they have the whole of society behind them. It is also important to create the impression that the incumbent powers are about to surrender or have already been overthrown or have lost control and are powerless. And does that last bit not sound an awful lot like what the media is trying to do, to constantly undermine and sabotage Donald Trump? Is all of this not America today? But the remarkable thing is that was not written by an American, but by somebody living and working in Hungary who was also fighting and dealing with George Soros. Let's listen to an example of that sown chaos, those radical street fighters. I'd like to welcome Leo Stratton. He is a citizen journalist with more than 200 videos to his credit and with over 1 million views. His YouTube channel is simply Leo Stratton. Leo, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So the reason we wanted to have you on is because you have this really fantastic video up there that shows the violence there at the May Day parade, or May Day protest, I should say, not parade. And it was really rather shocking, even for those of us here in the Portland area that have kind of gotten used to seeing some of these things. Why don't you just describe a little bit about what you saw and what the mood was like being there when they suddenly light this bonfire in the middle of the street?
Well, I had went down. I picked up my friend Mark Callahan, who was basically he shot the video. Anyway, and we had gone to the main event up at the Chmielewski Park there on the park blocks, and they gave all of their speeches and spiels. Then they proceeded to march off all these different groups. There had to be at least a half a dozen to a dozen different groups there. They had really fancy signs with the what would you call the Soviet thing?
The sickle and hammer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that. Lots of it looked like a print shop or something had done them because they weren't grassroots. Almost everything was pre-printed, large signs, and all in their own little groups. And then the Black Bloc, which are the people that perpetrated the crime later with the things over their face and whatnot. But anyway, they marched after about an hour of speaking at Chmielewski. And, you know, Mark and I kind of I could tell previous to them leaving, the Black Bloc people were getting really aggressive. They were coming in, and I have previous videos where they're coming in and they're chanting military type things. They are just really getting stirred up and angry. And it was very obvious. I know I was filming them, and they kind of put their try to block their, even though they had the things over their faces, they'd put their hands up and I get flipped off and this and that. But it really was, it was thick. So I knew something was going to occur. Then at some point, the police were going on loudspeakers, were saying, okay, anybody in this vicinity is subject to arrest. And at that point, I thought, well, I probably better get back in the car.
So I got to ask you, when did you feel the most intimidated?
Well, we had gone down, and I was right there at Alder and 3rd, and I could hear flashback grenades going off that the police were setting off. Yeah, they set off flash bombs, and they've been doing that the last several times. There were several post-election rioting down there, and they were doing it down there as well, setting off smoke things, and the flash bombs are really noisy. So even though I was in the car, it almost shakes the car. Matter of fact, there was one time when they set off multiple flash grenades that it took the volume out on my camera. So it interrupted it.
And the whole time this is happening, what's the mood like? I mean, are you kind of fearful? I mean, what's the crowd? I mean, you mentioned some
not
anger
really.
There, but
no, because I went to the Vancouver deal. I went to the Lake Oswego, the Trump rallies, and it Mark, it's all the same people. Huh. I have nicknames for all of them because it's typically the same people there, and even if they're wearing masks, you can recognize them.
And that kind of brings up the point of one of the things we want to talk to you about is that whether or not you see some funding behind this and some actual organizing behind this. The focus of today's show is about George Soros. I mean, you mentioned the pre-printed signs. I mean, do these groups exhibit any kinds of real funding behind them?
Well, you know, honestly, if you go, I've tried to talk to a couple of them, and if you go in there with any kind of discussion, trying to on both sides, they just keep, you know, and maybe this is a left thing, maybe this is a liberal thing. They keep spewing the same things over and over, the same talking points, and they can't really discuss. And they'll say, you know, you ask one thing, they'll say, well, Black Lives Matter. That's why. And no, that's not what I ask you. So they're almost robotic. Which tells me that they're likely for hire. I know that I have seen in various places Craigslist ads where I believe you can either get paid by the hour, by the day, or by the week. And I know by the week, it was up to like $2,000, and it just basically said to be activity type activists.
Wow.
Hired activists, and I'm presuming that's probably. For the gun things, it's Soros, Bloomberg. For anything else, it's probably Soros, but a combination of both, I'm sure.
So with the May Day event, you've certainly got some sort of coordination there. You've got, you already mentioned these pre-printed signs. Somebody's paying for this. Then compare what you saw there to what you see at the conservative grassroots rallies. Is there a distinct difference?
Well, at the conservative rallies, they usually coincide, and typically the conservative rallies, there's lots of flags, there's the Pledge of Allegiance and a benediction before and after. I've got video of one of the patriots picking up garbage on 82nd along the way and throwing it away. That's a big difference.
Versus what you saw there in the video, which is burning things in the middle of the street, for heaven's
sake.
Yeah, followed by about 30 or 50SWAT team police officers swooping in to break it up. So, Leo, I want to thank you so much for your time, and we'll link up your video on iSpyRadio.com.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
And coming up next, Ron Arnold talking about George Soros, including how you, the taxpayer, are paying for some of his groups. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Ron Arnold, continuing our discussion of George Soros from last week. And I got to tell you, Ron, after last week's discussion, I did some more digging, and I'm admitting defeat today because I've got like 1,000 questions that need answering, and yet I also realize that there's just no possible way we're going to get through all of this. And
that's how I got where I am.
Too
many questions.
Yeah, well, and it's just constant rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole, just finding more information. And yeah, there's just no end to it in some ways. I came across this. I can't take credit for this question, but it's a great one. It's from an article. I believe the title of the article is George Soros, Gravedigger of the Left. And it's a great question, and I'm not sure where else to squeeze it into. I'm just going to lead off with it. And it's that the mainstream media characterizes Soros as a philanthropist. And this is her question. But what kind of philanthropist is a serial ruiner of European and Asian currencies who wiped out the savings, retirement pensions, and salaries of masses of ordinary citizens in order to reap huge profits for himself? His wealth is chartered away in offshore tax havens in the Cayman Islands and the Dutch Antilles. In other words, the main bulk of his left-wing foundations that are so deeply worried about poor people is himself a tax evader. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's the nuts and bolts of how did he get so rich. Doesn't say that he's doing it that way because he's already got money that's just practically automatically coming in because of what he did, oh heavens, like 20, 30 years ago. He did all of that, everything you're talking about, to get the money. He actually shorted the pound sterling and devaluated the pound so that everybody woke up one morning and all of their investments, all of their cash was worth about a third less than it was when they went to bed. So, he didn't care. And the truth is he really doesn't anymore. But the things that he's doing now, you could read them both ways. Like, one of the ways he got rid of the communists in Hungary, the place where he was born, and his whole heritage comes from Hungary, was the Soviet government was in charge, of course. And so he started giving them wonderful things like copy machines. Well, but the government wanted to stay in control of all of the communication and don't copy this and don't copy that. And they couldn't control it anymore. And he'd given this wonderful gift, so it looked like he was doing good. Well, to some people he was, but it didn't do very well to the Soviet empire. And he did that in country after country after country as part of the Soviet empire. And essentially it became the Soros empire.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, though, is that he ends up replacing one despotic government with his own. And we talked a little bit about that last week, is that he kind of becomes this power broker. And here's a guy that grew up under Nazi Germany, saw the dangers of somebody that had accumulated so much power to himself, wanted to unite the world under his own flag, and then he turns around and does the same thing.
The only thing he's missing is an army.
Yeah. Well, come to
that. You better watch for that part.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the articles that I came across, and I forget the title of this one, but again, we'll link it up on iSpyRadio.com. Within the pictures of this one, it's the Stop Soros. It's the Stop Operation Soros Project is where it stems from. And they've got photos of these rallies that are happening over there in Hungary and in Macedonia. And it's like looking at the streets of Portland, where they've got these riots. They've set fires to things. They've broken into store windows. And then sure enough, up on the platform is a guy wearing a T-shirt that says Soros Army.
Well, see, it's already happening in like Macedonia. It's probably not a bad place to try it, because how many people could even find it on a map? And that's one of the things that he's fairly careful to do. He's got more than 80 of his open society foundation type branches throughout the world. Now, that's a lot. So he's doing this kind of thing. Now, Macedonia certainly isn't the only place he's doing that kind of thing, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's putting an army together. And if we had the time, I'd tell you how he did it in each last country. And so, as a matter of fact, I wrote it in a book, Freezing in the Dark, and how he did it, this country, that country, and so on, down to the people. Yeah. Talk to these people. I also had all of my information from a former program manager of Soros himself, who told me everything that he knew, and that was a lot.
Well, and that is a fascinating book, and that also is up on iSpyRadio.com. People can order that off of Amazon or Barnes & Noble, I'm sure, as well. You talk about some of these NGOs, and that's really how he operates, and we touched on that some last week as well. And within Macedonia, which is to the north of Greece, by the way, on the Balkan Peninsula, he, just within that Stop Operation Soros, they number 61 Soros NGOs that he either commands directly or that are affiliated with him. And it's not even an exhaustive list.
Right. Well, it's something that there is an irony here, because one of the reasons that he's got the Macedonia bug is that, guess who was born there? Alexander the Great, the world's first conqueror.
Hmm.
And there is a certain symbolism to that, I think. Soros probably just chuckles over that as he sees these up there with his Soros Army T-shirts on.
Yes, yeah, well.
Okay, coming back, we alluded to this last week about how the U.S. taxpayer is funding some of George Soros' groups. We'll talk about that next. And welcome back. We're continuing our discussion with Ron Arnold from last week
about George Soros, who was kind of the Darth Vader to a lot of us on the right, and rightfully so, I would have to say. Ron is the Executive Vice President of the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. He's especially known for his pioneering work on exposing less funding. He has more than 300 magazine articles, numerous book chapters. He's author of 10 books and editor of 12. And we have a number of those up on iSpyRadio.com. Just head to the store page and you can link right to those. And so we had alluded to this last week about how the U.S. government is actually funding some of Soros's organizations. And the big one is the USAID. This is the United States Agency for International Development. They've been around since 1961. And it says that it is the lead U.S. government agency that works to end extreme global poverty and this is the troubling part, enable resilient democratic societies to realize their potential, which sounds a little lefty if you ask me. They have been involved with such things as the White Helmets in Syria. They have funded George Soros's led NGO groups in Macedonia to the tune of $4.8 million. That was a couple of years ago. They're now up to over $15 million in terms of what they are giving to George Soros. I mean, this seems kind of absurd that the U.S. government is giving money to George Soros's NGOs. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, if you stop and think about it, he makes a perfect conduit for left-wing politics as usual, because that's what it looks like. They give him money. He goes into some country that he has never even been in sometimes, forms his new open society, whatever it is. He'll call them foundations. He will call them institutions. He'll call them anything that sounds good to where he's going. And he will take the money and do with it what sounds like is all of the good stuff the U.S. wants to be known for. But what he's really doing is undermining whatever the local power structure is and making sure that either it comes in his power or it actually goes into something that's probably at the executive or the agency level of the United States government. Now, that's pretty clever, but yeah. You can follow those footprints.
Well, we had talked last week how Soros doesn't like to use his own money, and he likes to attract other money, and this is really a good example. In 2012, which is when this relationship between his NGOs and the USAID started, he put up $278,000 for the Open Society Macedonia Foundation, but the U.S. government kicked in $2.5 million. In 2014, the contract was renewed. This time he kicked in $522,000 while the U.S. government, the U.S. taxpayer, I should say, kicked in $4.9 million. I know that that contract has been renewed yet again for another 5 years. I believe it's now up over $15 million. And what's interesting here is that that money is then funneled to at least four civil organizations, all of which have direct ties to the Open Society Foundation, but there are another 61 NGOs there operating within Macedonia that he funds in some way or another. Since the beginning of 2015, Macedonia has been shaken by a series of protests, civil unrest, and destruction of the essentials of any modern society, freedom of opinion, and private property. And behind all of that, you've got George Soros, once again, funding chaos.
Exactly. And if you take a look right now, even in the United States, it's not using government money exactly, but he's doing the same thing in, for example, the Black Lives Matter foundations.
Yes.
He's pledged to give a substantial portion of $100 million to the master organization, the Black Lives Matter Foundation. Well, okay, he pledged $33 million. What does he do then? Runs out and see if he can meet somebody at the Ford Foundation and Borealis Philanthropy and some other people with a lot of money and gets the other $77 million from them. So it got $100 million and it's got his name on it. Ha, 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 but it doesn't really. But he's very good at that. He wants essentially what he is, he's an investor, a hedge fund investor. He will put his money in it up to a point, and all the rest of it, and this is sometimes 90 or 95% of all the rest of the money that goes into anything, is somebody else's money. And when the bubble breaks, when it's no longer popular, he hasn't lost anything, and everybody else thinks, you know, we didn't really get a whole lot for our investment, and the foundation gets sour on him, won't give that anymore. And then the new cause du jour comes up. So that's how Soros works.
Well, you mentioned Black Lives Matter, and also within these protests that have been happening in Macedonia, this Stop Operation Soros project says this: it is notable how organizations and individuals were the face of the protests. All had been awarded grants through USAID and Soros's groups. And then, like I said in the last segment, in some of the pictures, they're actually wearing these T-shirts with the word Soros's Army printed on them. I mean, this is our tax dollars being spent on that sort of thing.
Well, all you have to do is get Congress to stop it, and that's a good trick. That's going. And remember, a lot of that stuff got passed during the, yes, the fairly left-wing Obama administration. I'm not quite sure how much of that is really going to stay where it is under the Trump administration. We'll see.
Yeah, well, we can hope. I do know that Mike Lee and other senators, Ted Cruz among them, has sent a letter to Tillerson that they want an investigation of how the U.S. is funding George Soros and his operations. We've got links for that. There were several articles about that. Do you have any idea how many other organizations or agencies, I should say, within the U.S. government are funding Soros's little pet projects?
Well, they go into yes is the answer to that, but it's through connect the dots relationships, and you will go into something that sounds really good. The Environmental Protection Agency. Well, they've got this endangered species that is on U.S. soil, so we have authority over that. But we find out it's got a cousin somewhere. And oh my, suddenly it's not dollars, but it's our scientists that are going over there on guess whose money and finding this little critter and says, oh my goodness, we need to make sure that we give the UN Species Protection Program some U.S. dollars so that, well, you get the idea. So it, wow. They'll find a way to do it no matter what, and it will go through such innocent sounding thing as protecting endangered species. Well, everybody wants to do that, but that's not exactly what they're doing. They're going over there and using it as a conduit for just pushing things to the left and to the left and to the left, and probably making their own scientists look like idiots. So the government looks like idiots having hired idiot scientists, and you get the idea. Suddenly you've weakened the other government.
Well, I've said a new saying. I've come up with a new saying, I should say, is that there is nothing so stupid as a room full of smart people. And I think that applies to Congress and these news panels and everywhere else. So, all right, everyone stay with us. We're going to have lots more with Ron Arnold talking about Soros. Coming up, we're going to be talking about perhaps another reason why he's getting involved in some of these countries. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Ron Arnold, who is especially known for following the left's money, and we are certainly talking about that, talking about George Soros today. Ron, we've talked about how he has interfered with the Soviet Union and then later Russia, Ukraine, Georgia. He supported the Arab Spring, which toppled at least three Arab governments. He's also interfered in Yugoslavia, Macedonia, Albania, Malaysia, Thailand, Japan, his homeland Hungary. He tried in China. Some people are probably wondering, though, why he's doing all of this. Why all this chaos? Why go in and topple these governments? Is it just ideology, or could there be some ulterior motive? Could it be, simply, that he not only wants to impose his views on everyone else, but also wants to make a fortune in doing so? Is the mask of philanthropy simply a means to create chaos and then make money out of that chaos? And there's an interesting article which we'll put up on iSpyRadio.com, and it's called George Soros's Recipe. The recipe is a simple one. Identify a business target worth acquiring. Send your NGOs onto the spot, destabilize the region, arrange for the necessary media tailwind, create chaos, and as soon as that is done, become the one who organizes help for reconstruction while cherry-picking the most profitable business opportunities. Pull down the borders that are undue obstacles to your movements. Dismantle national sovereignty to avoid obstacles. Buy off the experts with money, scholarships, awards, fame, recognition, or personal promotions. Prevent their affiliations with you and others from being detected or their incompetence from being revealed. Buy off the local media, TV, radio stations, dailies, weeklies, as well as web magazines. Label them as independent outlets, but pay them off properly to have them work for the purposes you set for them. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a detailed version of what happens from something that he came up with, oh my goodness, 20 years ago. He calls it reflexivity. He, as a hedge fund operator, he had to understand arbitrage, which he had done for about 5 years before, and how to get people into a hedge fund and dump it when the time came and short everything and make a bundle of money because you just bought a whole bunch of other stuff at a low price and sold it for a high price. Well, that's how hedge funds work. Well, essentially what he's doing, the same thing with politics, and that is he knows that it's a bubble. What he looks for is places that have particular problems, and he says, you know, it wouldn't be too difficult to turn that into a bubble. Hmm. And maybe they've got a problem with this or that or the other. So he will give some money to an outfit that is supposed to be helping stuff, but they're really not. And they're going in there and things go wrong and he blames the other guy. But by this time, he's got a whole bunch of other donors that are putting money into that same thing. So he does not have to do all the payoff to keep people in line with what he wants. But what's happening is that they're putting lucrative of either businesses or taps on another government's money flow, and it comes back to his fortune so that he has, it's just like an investor. But his investment is in pushing things to the political left. He's yes. just using it as a conduit for his own political goal.
Well, and also in terms of sowing seeds of chaos and then profiting from that, he seems to have a clear pattern of doing so. He apparently did that back in the day. I want to say it was Serbia, but he had identified a lucrative mine. And after he encouraged the UN to basically go in and take over the country, he also convinced them that the mine was unsafe for the workers. And so, golly gee whiz, the UN seizes control of that mine, and they just happened to give George Soros the mining rights to that mine. And as evidence of that pattern, he is currently being sued by a fellow billionaire over a mine in Guinea. George Soros apparently went in, spent a whole bunch of money, got somebody elected, and then, gee, surprise, surprise, he got the mining rights to the Simandou mine, which is hailed by mining companies as the richest untapped iron ore site in the entire world. And it's cost this other billionaire at least $10 billion. And he alleges that Soros went in there, used the defamation campaign that stripped them of the rights. And also then it alleges that he paid law firms, transparency groups, some of these other NGOs, investigators, and even government officials, all in this coordinated effort to make sure that Soros got the mining rights.
Well, you know, this kind of thing is, it's been his pattern a long time. As a matter of fact, he got caught doing it, and actually he lost a case that he thought he was going to win in France, of all places.
Yes.
And he did the same kind of, let's invest in this, and he ended up with owning everything else that his other investors were supposed to own. And he was ready to walk out of the country with the money when several people inside the government who weren't on the take decided that they were going to show him something because he was dealing with the Rothschilds and some other people who didn't really like to be stolen from. And so they actually got him, and he was convicted. Hmm. So he had, of course, they couldn't imprison him, but they certainly fined him a great deal of money. So he doesn't always win these, but yes, he does use the same pattern.
Mm. Okay, let's take a break there. Coming back, we'll be talking about some of his other current involvements in countries around the world. Stay with us. Lots more with Ron Arnold talking about George Soros. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talk today to Ron Arnold. He is Executive Vice President of the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. He's especially known for exposing and tracking the green money machine that funds the left. And we're talking about George Soros today. And let's talk a little bit about some of his current involvements. He is involved in a number of countries across the world. We've mentioned Macedonia. He's been involved in revolutions in Georgia, Ukraine. Also mentioned the Arab Spring, Albania. But one of the ones that's really interesting to me is Hungary. And the government itself is actually currently in the process of passing laws to rein in his foundations and his Central European University's operations. What's going on there, do you think?
Well, it's you have a lot of guts if you're going to take on Soros because he's got so many tentacles, and you can't always see where they are. So they've got a number of people in actually not so much in the executive level, but in the administrative level who are deciding they have ways of just making rules and regulations that you have to do this and you have to get a permit to do that. And it's a way of simply wasting the time of all of his agents, of Soros's agents who are out there trying to do great harm. And they can't get a parade permit, or the cops will say, no, you need an escort, and you need to pay us. Well, we don't have that kind of money. Well, go get some. You know, we know where your money's coming from. We'll go get some more. So, in other words, it's people that they do remember how he did that to the Soviet Union, their power, when they were in charge of Hungary. So I think they're studying history and seeing how he did it and giving them a dose of his own medicine.
Well, he is using some of the same techniques that you've mentioned in how he brought down the Soviet Union, in the sense that he's working with some of these universities. He has one that he himself has funded, the Central European University, where he's trying to expand its presence. He's donated millions of dollars to it. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that the prime minister himself has said that through Soros' operations in Hungary and hidden from the public gaze, George Soros is spending endless amounts of money to support illegal immigration, and they're just flat out done with it. Hungary is tightening current regulations to even try to shut down his university.
Well, this is one of they're smart to try to do that. As far as being able to do it, that's another question. We'll see how really clever they are if in 5 years they've actually managed to get him at least down to a tolerable level as far as his operations there. The likelihood that they're going to actually get rid of him is not very good. The only place that actually succeeded in doing that completely was China. And they just walked in one morning and took the building away from him and put him out in a car and sent him to the airport. And it worked.
Wow.
So he's tried to get back in.
You mentioned Black Lives Matter, there was some speculation that Soros was behind a lot of the paid protests that happened at some of these Trump rallies. What can you tell us about that?
It's probably hidden somewhere in the $33 million in grants that he gave to Black Lives Matter. The rest of it's probably come through Center for American Progress, which he was another one of those bubble donors. He said, well, it's going to cost, it'll cost $100 million, and I'll give you a whole bunch of money. And they expected the $100 million, and he gives them $3 million, and finds a lot of other people to come up with the rest to make $100 million. Well, Center for American Progress is probably behind a lot of the grants that are going to Black Lives Matter, the movement that goes out and organizes. Well, I don't know if you've seen the platform that they've actually written. This is August 1st last year. They want to defund police departments.
Yeah.
They want reparations for slavery. They want voting rights for illegal immigrants. They want fossil fuel divestment. Well, for poor people, that's really a dumb thing to do. What are they don't have those kind of investments, and if it goes away, what are they going to what they put in their car?
Then
probably won't be a Tesla.
One of the other things that has struck me, we've got about a minute and a half here with you. Soros has been a big backer of legalizing marijuana. Why is that, you suspect?
It happens to be one of those bubbles that looks like it's big, and there's a great deal of money to be made in it. And a lot of people are just, you know, making ordinary living in states that have legalized marijuana. And that actually is one of the things that he doesn't want to happen. He doesn't want to make it particularly legal. He wants to make it heavily regulated so that he can show that he's being a good boy. When, as a matter of fact, he's controlling all of the sources and making sure pieces of that money goes to guess who. So his views on it are more like an investor. He sees it as a social thing going on that he can actually tap some money and look like he's being the good guy.
Well, the pro-drug people certainly think that he's a good guy. One of the magazines out there, pro-marijuana magazine anyway, enthusiastically dubbed him Daddy Weedbucks. So, take that.
That's about right.
Yeah, really. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. We'll be wrapping things up with Ron Arnold. And when we come back, with all that money spent, is it actually the people who are winning? And could George Soros be going out of business? And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Ron Arnold talking about George Soros. This is a guy who has made billions of dollars from such things as shorting the British pound, helping devalue the Russian ruble, and other currencies. He instills chaos and bets on misfortune. But think of the damage that he's done by devaluing all of those currencies. He has destroyed the lives of millions of people as their pensions and savings have been severely damaged while he makes money. This is the philanthropist of the left. And so, Ron, in this last segment here with you, what would it take to bring George Soros down, you think?
Well, a lot of people have asked that question. The fact is nobody has figured out a way to do that, including people who had the wherewithal to do it. And that would be George Bush, who was president, and his comments about the 9/11 disaster and his preemptive strike. That's really what politicized Soros, who was mostly pretty much let's get rid of communism. And then he began to realize that, you know, the capitalist way of doing things is getting into people's private lives, and they're beginning to look at people not as friends but as possible profit centers and various things that are propaganda from the left. You've heard that all. But he then became very much an advocate of it's not the communist threat, it's the capitalist threat. Now, that's something that's not talked about very much, but that is very much behind most of the stuff that you see him doing. He's doing it not just because he wants the power in this particular country or that country. He wants to make sure that whatever vestiges of capitalism may be there go away. And if there's an easy way to say what he's got in mind, that would be it. And how you get somebody to change their mind and reform their ways who's that deeply into his own ideology. And he really did believe that the communist threat was a threat. And so he got rid of it pretty much. And a lot of people give him credit for undoing the Soviet Union, and he did a great deal to do that. But now he's doing that with capitalism, and that's a problem.
What about reforming some of the nonprofit laws? Because it's almost become a money laundering scheme in terms of how he donates to one organization, which then donates to all these other ones. What would be some practical changes that we could do to the nonprofit laws in this country to maybe head off some of what he does?
Nobody has found a good answer to that yet, for this reason, that just about every kind of nonprofit group has different kind of donors, and they, if you start changing the law about having to tax this and that and the other, or having to forbid this and that and the other, you now have a whole bunch of different laws for one situation, and the IRS has enough trouble it is trying to manage these outfits as things are. So the matter of fact is that you're not going to do anything that will hamper what kind of thing Soros is doing without hampering everybody the same way. And that's something that most people in the nonprofit world really don't want.
Well, one thing I would certainly like to see changed within the nonprofit laws is greater sunshine in terms of exactly who is giving what to which groups. Right
you
now,
can't do that
if you look
at privacy laws,
yeah, but if you're willing to give money to an organization, why wouldn't you be willing to have your name as part of that?
Well, probably the easiest answer is once you get known as a sugar daddy, you're going to have somebody on your phone at dinner time for the rest of your life. And they'll be knocking on your doors and say, can I have $100,000, please? And that is a serious problem to the privacy of people who are deciding to be nice guys and put a little money here or a lot of money there. And now everybody knows about it. And
well,
part of it is just nuisance value.
Well, I'm all for letting tens of thousands of people know where George Soros lives.
Well, and that's true. But how do you then decide who gets to, who has to do it and who doesn't have to do it? Remember, equal under the law, well, you're not going to do that. You're not going to make a special case out of one person or even one political viewpoint. That would be really easy to show that that's a political and not an economic or not a socially usable a trick to try to get rid of Soros.
Yeah.
So the truth is I have talked to a lot of lawyers about that question, and I had the same question, and I thought, well, how would you do that? Because I've run a nonprofit since 1984, and with all of the things I have to tell the IRS now that I don't have to tell the public, as a matter of fact, we publish all of our grants and things like that. We publish them anyhow because we believe in free enterprise, and we don't really care if who knows how much we're getting from who. And some of our donors say, well, we can't do that because we don't want them to know that we're giving the public to know we're giving you money. Well, don't give us the money. So that's the only way that nonprofits will ever manage to get through that is to just say, okay, let's have everybody's name out there and then see how many people are giving you money anymore. And that won't be a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think in some ways the people are winning in all of this, because if you really think about how much money Soros has spent trying to get rid of Bush, trying to push all these different issues, even trying to get Hillary elected, now that Trump has won the presidency, it's blowing up a lot of the far left stranglehold. It just seems like he spent a lot of time and money on nothing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he's beginning to feel the same thing, and that's why this bubble theory of his is so important now. Because he's beginning to realize that the pro-left bubble just got a big hole put in it when Trump got elected.
Yes.
And so he's looking. That's one of the reasons he's going outside of the U.S. But he's also finding the new things that can really disrupt, he hopes, Trump, and that is with the Black Lives Matter. And right now that's the grant du jour. That's what everybody wants to get into. In fact, it was easy for Soros to talk the Ford Foundation into giving all the rest of the money of that $100 million that he gave $33 million for. So I think he's feeling the pain himself a little bit and realizes the U.S. is really not going to go the way that he wants.
Good. Well, and that right there is a victory in and of itself. Ron, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Just a couple of updates before we go. Thanks to iSpy Radio's audience and other grassroots organizations, the outright sale of the Elliott State Forest has been canceled, and there is now new discussions on what to do. You can continue to weigh in on that. See the Take Action page on iSpyRadio.com. And also, longtime listeners of iSpy know about the Pebble Mine Project, which the Obama administration conspired with far-left organizations, like Soros' groups, to block the mine from even applying for a permit. Something that has never happened before. Well, the Pebble Mine just won their appeal this week, and they'll be moving forward.
So much winning. Join in the fun. Drop us an email if you'd like to get our weekly show notices. Share our show pages. Follow me on Twitter. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.